Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and also 96.5 TIC. Our focus this morning is going to be talking about the hole-in-the-wall gang camp. It has really had quite a presence in Ashford now for over 30 years, since 1988 when it was founded by Paul Newman, and it has grown into so many programs. One of them that we're going to talk about is the hospital outreach program, HOP, and also want to see what's going on there after the tragic fire that happened a few winters ago. So let's bring on Hillary Axmeyer. She is the chief program officer. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning. Hi, Morgan. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Good. I'm doing good. I'm excited to talk more about camp this morning.
Well, you have been involved with the camp, I think the audience should know, really for a very long time. Seems like the only job you may have ever had.
You're accurate. Absolutely. So yeah, I'm very lucky. I feel every day I feel very lucky to get to do the work that I love so much. I started over 20 years ago now, after my first year of college, as a summer camp counselor at the Hole in the Wall Gang Camp in Ashford, working in the boathouse. I was responsible for the fishing and boating, and had a wonderful summer there. And it really changed the trajectory of my life and my career. And I've been involved in a number of roles since then, stayed involved throughout college and grad school, and then I came back in a full-time role as the assistant camp director, and then was the camp director, and now I have the great privilege of being the chief program officer.
And Hillary, aside from yourself, it seems like there's a lot of consistency at the Hole in the Wall Gang Camp, not just yourself, but maybe counselors who come back every season, other longtime staff. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, Morgan. It's a really wonderful community to be a part of, and I think once people get a real taste for it, it's a hard place to leave. We see that with our former campers. We have a lot of former campers who want to give back and come and work in the summer program and be counselors and be those inspiring role models that they had when they were campers. This past summer, in fact, we had over 60% of our summer counselors were former campers.
You know, I don't know exactly where to begin. There's so much to talk about this morning. And one thing that comes to mind, obviously, COVID-19. Here we are kind of looking back in hindsight at how that affected us all back in 2020 and certainly 2021 and how we're getting through it all today. How did it impact the Hole in the Wall Gang Camp?
Yeah, really significantly. I mean, I think for everyone, you know, it was obviously a big shift and pivots were happening everywhere. For us, we had to keep that in mind just like the rest of society, but also had to think about how we're going to continue to serve our already isolated families. And the experience that they, that we all were feeling in lockdown and quarantines, I heard from a number of families, this is how they often feel, that they are, you know, worried about getting sick or infections and really that isolation that they feel with a diagnosis of a serious illness. And so we felt really strongly that immediately within really the, you know, that first week in March when everything shut down, that we needed to respond comprehensively and quickly to ensure that our families still stayed connected. So we did that in a number of ways. We our hospital outreach program, which I'll share about in a little bit, all of our hospital outreach specialists no longer could be in the hospital working bedside with our kids. Obviously, they were not allowing folks in the hospital. And so we quickly transitioned to a virtual hospital outreach program where kids who were hospitalized, who were in the hospital, often without the comfort of their families anymore, they were able to connect virtually with our hospital outreach specialists, doing camp crafts, activities, games, lots of gaming was going on. We had a significant social presence, so we were posting story time, different crafts and activities for kids to do at home if they were not physically at school anymore. And then we created a virtual, that first summer in 2020, we were not able to have any in-person programming. And so we did pivot to an all virtual summer camp experience where our campers could register for a week of camp, just like they had done prior to. But it all took place via Zoom, and they had a number of activities they could choose from, and really traditional camp activities like theater and arts and crafts and stage night, like a talent show. And most importantly, they could come together and still feel that connection to one another.
That's a really unique and innovative way to get through all of that, I think. And, guys have continued with your presence, even though there were other challenges too. What happened in early 2021, the big fire.
Right. Yeah, it was a couple challenging years for sure for us. So as we were hopeful that 2021 would bring a more that normalcy back, we experienced a significant tragic fire on February 12th, the evening of February 12th in 2021, where we lost all of our downtown program areas, essentially. So all our arts and crafts, our woodshop program, our camp store, and our cooking zone all were attached to one giant building. And a fire essentially took all those buildings out within a matter of an hour. So it was quite tragic. Those buildings held a lot of memories, a lot of really special moments that our campers and staff and volunteers had experienced. So there really was a lot of there were a lot of sadness and mourning that came out of that night. And then in turn, the resilience and the strength of our community was just really incredible. The response was immediate, and we received over 4,000 individual donations to help our rebuild efforts within about 10 days, and some really significant gifts as well from Travelers and Travelers Championship and Newman's Own Foundation. They really responded to this crisis, and I'm just so excited to share that we are weeks away from completing our new program complex, which is, I'm so excited to share it with the world. It's and our families. It's beautiful. It's bigger and better and more accessible and inclusive. And it really speaks to the the needs, the varied needs of our population.
Well, I love that, and I do remember when that happened. I was anchoring the news that evening on WTIC 1080 here, and it was a very tragic story for sure, and we sent a reporter out there. And like you said, everything that was in that portion that was that building that was attacked by the fire, it was gone. But never did we hear anything about, oh, well, we're going to throw in the towel and give up. You hit it really on the head there that it was about resilience and getting over it, and here we are going on 2 years later, and the story of rebuilding continues. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. We're really excited, and the support we received was really just, you know, unimaginable. We're so grateful for our community. We're really fortunate to have a lot of wonderful people that believe in the work that we do.
Which you guys refer to as a different kind of healing. What does that mean?
Yeah. So, this is, you know, something that Paul Newman had said. He's, you know, an incredibly inspiring man who this was his, you know, we really believe this is his legacy, and we're all so fortunate because of him and what he created. He wanted, when he founded camp in 1988, to have a space where kids could be kids and experience a different kind of healing that doctors and nurses in their clinics and their providers, they're providing some sort of that healing through medicine and treatments and therapies. But the other big part of that is what we can provide is the ability for kids to be able to be kids and raise a little hell, as Mr. Newman famously said, and make connections with other kids who are walking a similar path, and really be able to find hope and healing in the space that we're creating for them, whether that's at camp in Ashford, or in the hospitals through our hospital outreach program, or in just the connections and the friendships that are made in our programming.
In your 21 years, Hillary, speaking this morning on Face Connecticut with Hillary Axmeyer, the chief program officer at the Hole in the Wall Gang Camp located in Ashford. Hillary, what have you noticed over the last 20 or so years, the changes, the growth, new goals that you guys have?
Yeah. It's a great question. It's very timely. There's a lot of growth, and I'm excited to share with you today as well, Morgan. We're constantly growing and evolving, and really hearing from our families and from those that we serve of how we can continue to help them on this journey of having a child with a serious illness. We've learned and we've responded and we've pivoted, whether that's the pandemic or other situations, to be able to be as responsive as possible. So a couple examples of that is, before my time, before I started, as I mentioned before, the camp was built as a summer camp program for children with serious illnesses. And that first summer in 1988, we served 288 children. And since then, today, we serve thousands and thousands of children and family members across the Northeast and down into the Mid-Atlantic. And so this idea has just these huge ripple effects that say, okay, we're going to do a summer program. Well, now we know that they need more than that one week of camp. And so we're going to add family weekends because we recognize the family is also going through a really challenging time. And so we want to have a space where the families can come together, the parents and the caregivers can join in and have parent caregiver only chats so that they can connect about what the challenges are that they're facing. So we expanded our family weekend programs. That was something that happened in the mid-90s. And then our hospital outreach program, similarly, this year actually marks the 20th anniversary of our hospital outreach program, which we're celebrating right now. This idea started in 2002, we had one counselor, a former counselor a summer counselor who thought we can keep doing this work that we're doing in the summer, but bring it to the hospitals. And so this one idea started with one person, one really charismatic summer counselor, have blossomed into more than 35 specialists throughout the Northeast into the Mid-Atlantic, in regions in central New England, Boston, Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, and now in D.C., where we're going into more than 45 hospitals now, and bringing camp directly into the hospitals and working alongside the child life team, the social workers, and really being part of the care team at the hospitals. And the hospitals really value this contribution, and recognize the importance the help and the importance that it creates for our kids in the hospitals. And then most recently, we are expanding into Maryland. We are really excited. We announced this about 6 months ago that we have identified a new location in Maryland along the Chesapeake Bay in the Queenstown area, which we've acquired a property there, and we are in the midst of some renovations and really excited to start programming on a second site, a second location in 2024, where we'll be able to serve families in the D.C., Maryland, Mid-Atlantic region who otherwise are not being able to be served by Hole in the Wall in Ashford, because it's just too far away, and so we're excited to really look at that underserved area.
Is there any possibility in the future of stretching further west?
You know, it's a good question. I mean, I'll never say never, because we continue to grow and grow. Right now, we are the New England, the Northeast, and the Mid-Atlantic are areas that we have really identified is that there is a real gap of services for children with serious illnesses. So we feel like this expansion is really going to be able to serve more families in need for us for right now.
What kind of level of organization, what kind of level of planning does it take to get this program to spread to, say, Maryland? You're talking about buying properties and getting in coordination with hospitals and medical services and all of that. Could you talk about the level of planning that goes into all of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite robust. I mean, we have been talking about this Maryland expansion for a number of years, and it goes back to doing essentially a needs assessment of that area and determining what services are in the area, what's available, what's feasible. All of our programs are free for all of our participants. We are very fortunate to have a wonderful fundraising office, where we receive over 20,000 gifts annually to make all this magic happen, to ensure that no one for any program nor the hospitals pay any money for our services. So everything is free. And so we had to financially ensure that we were able to do this work. Is there a need? And when we were able to answer those questions, then it really was about determining hospital partners. And that's something that Mr. Newman did in Ashford over 30 years ago, 35 years ago, for parents and caregivers to trust us with their child who has a serious illness, you have to have the backing of wonderful medical institutions. And so Paul Newman recognized that, and we were able to connect early on with Yale and have the support of physicians and the medical community. And so similarly, doing that in the Maryland area and the D.C.-based hospitals, you know, being able to get their support into this idea and ultimately be able to share this new program offering with their patients and their families. So that's an ongoing effort. Our new hospital outreach office in Maryland, in Silver Spring, is actually opening really as I speak. We're just starting to see patients in this new office, and that's also part of this expansion into this region, starting for folks to familiarize themselves with who we are. Who is the Hole in the Wall Gang Camp? We're well known in Connecticut, but maybe not as much in Maryland. And so our hospital outreach team is starting to go into those hospitals and making a name for us. And so then down the road, we'll be able to open up this new location and be able to serve hopefully a lot of families in need.
When I think of hospitals, I think of, you know, an intimidating place. It's scary. There's uncertainty. Maybe feelings of fear, isolation are running rampant, particularly in kids, adults too, but especially kids. Mm-hmm. So is Hole in the Wall able to break through that?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that's one thing that we're really aware of, how intimidating a hospital can be for so many people. And we aim through our programming to make this experience as friendly and childlike as possible. And so our staff, who are just wonderful, incredibly thoughtful, trained professionals, who are comfortable in the hospital setting, which not everyone is. It's a fast paced, can be very challenging emotional environment. Their gain is to create a sense of normalcy, and to create spaces for the kids, the patients, to be able to, be in that space, getting the treatment, whatever it is they're there for, but also being able to have fun, enjoy themselves, play, and really make connections. And the parents and caregivers also, they're tired. They're in the hospital around the clock. And so what we hear from our parents and caregivers is when they see a smiling hop specialist walk into the room, their shoulders go down, they breathe this huge sigh of relief, and maybe they can go grab a coffee. They know during those next 45 minutes, however long they're interacting with their child, that their child is going to be happy and engaged. And we also hear from the medical community that that presence really helps with the overall care. That if a child is having a really hard day, a HOP specialist may be able to come in and do some wonderful distractions and games, and really help ultimately get that child to whatever the next challenge is in their treatment or in their therapy.
How else are you guys celebrating 20 years of HOP, the Hospital Outreach Program?
Well, we just had a staff meeting actually just last week in Ashford at our site in Ashford, where we had the entire organization. There's about almost 100 of us, including all of our HOP specialists from all of our regions, together to celebrate this milestone. And we had a lovely birthday party for our HOP specialists, and they had they then enjoyed a couple days of a really nice retreat where they could take a moment away from the hospitals to really reflect on their successes and recognize the impact, the huge impact that they have made over the years. So we're doing a lot of celebrating right now.
Anything else that you'd like to add? We're down to like the last minute or so here on Face Connecticut. My guest, Hillary Axmeyer, Chief Program Officer of Hole in the Wall Gang Camp. Anything else you'd like to say?
Oh, well, it's always great to talk about camp and our programs and all of the growth that we have. And, I think Connecticut has been, home to Hole in the Wall for 35 years. And we have such a wonderful community here in Connecticut with our corporate sponsors, in the Hartford area, as well as Newman's Own. It's just been a really wonderful community for us and has really helped us do everything that we have done up until this point, and ultimately be able to take this next step into the Mid-Atlantic. So we're very grateful for the support and lucky for the community that we have here in Connecticut.
Hillary, that's very exciting. Thank you for coming on this morning. We'll have to do another update, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.